good to be back. Tonight, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. And we slowed down quite a bit in our study of the Holy Spirit because I want to spend a little bit extra time on the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight, we're going to consider the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Now, so often when we think of the meaning of the word faith, we only associate it with a sincere belief or confidence in some testimony, truth, or promise. And certainly all of that is true. I have faith in God's Word. I have confidence in Jesus Christ's finished work. Listen, again, every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, it means that the Spirit must produce this. See, all men have not faith. Not everybody has faith. Many are under the condemnation of the law, and they have no faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God, saving faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you really believe the Bible, you understand that all faith comes and is produced by the Spirit and the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who makes the hearing ear? The Lord, the Spirit. Who gives us the faith to believe the message of the gospel? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet faith is much more than merely believing or acknowledging that something is true. This is really important that you understand this. Faith is not apathetic or passive. Genuine faith, properly exercised, always results in spiritual activity and action. Always. For example, if a man's diagnosed with a dangerous disease and is told by a doctor or somebody that he really trusts, whose veracity and skill he has complete faith in, that a certain remedy will restore him to health, I believe there's a lot of good natural remedies. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I really believe that. I believe God has pretty much everything our bodies need in creation. But if you trusted someone, they had a remedy, that man would, if he believed in that remedy, he would not only believe what the doctor said, but he had supreme confidence in that prescribed remedy which prompted him to act. Faith always produces activity. It goes beyond mere belief to supreme and sincere confidence. The fruit of spiritual faith, as produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit, will cause a man not only to believe the truth, but also to live truthfully. There's a lot in that statement. Because there's a whole lot of people in this religious world who say and do not. They're like the Pharisees. They say I believe, but there's no evidence that they have truly trusted Christ. that their life hasn't been changed. They're not walking by faith. They're not living by faith. They're not embracing the Word of God and all of its truth. If you believe the truth, you're going to live truthfully. Saving faith also produces faithfulness. Faithfulness in conversation and in conduct. If a believer, what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be full of faith. It means that you not only believe God's Word, but you also want to live according to the precepts and the principles of God's Word. And because his life is governed by the veracity of God's Word, we can be sure that an individual who has this spiritual fruit of faith, he will be faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy, and loyal. There's a whole lot more to this fruit of the Spirit is faith. It produces faithfulness. When we say that God is faithful, what do we mean? We mean that His Word is truthful, that His promises are trustworthy, that He is reliable at all times, and that we can place supreme confidence in Him as a person. We recognize that God is faithful. Now, we are His children. We've been born of His Spirit, redeemed by the blood of His Son. He is called our Heavenly Father. And because we are children of God, we're to resemble God. We're to resemble His image. That's the whole purpose of predestination and sanctification. It's to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be more like Christ, to be godly. And if we're going to be godly and the Spirit produces this faithfulness in us, we'll want to be more like the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. As the people of God, our lives are to exhibit a pattern of faithfulness. If you're a child of God, if you've got the fruit of faith, you're going to be faithful. It's just that simple. I like what George Bethune wrote in 1834 regarding the fruit of faith. He said, it is rather what is usually expressed by veracity, honesty, fidelity, or the observance of truth in all our assertions, promises, and engagements. The supposition of our truth induces others to put faith in us. And the keeping or fulfillment of that truth is the fruit of the Spirit, which is here called faith. The truth or faithfulness here insisted upon intends primarily truth and faithfulness toward God in our Christian profession, but our duty to God necessarily includes those duties to our fellow men which He has commanded. And the apostle is here speaking of the fruits of the Spirit, or of those graces which prove the Spirit of God to be dwelling in the Christian. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If you're saved tonight, that has to be true. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. If you're a child of God, if you're a son of God, you will be led of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's the evidence. And if you're led by the Lord and He's producing fruit in your life, you're going to be faithful. This needs to be taught. Now tonight I'm going to cover an aspect of faithfulness that I think a lot of people really don't ever consider. Faithfulness involves absolute honesty and truthfulness. The individual who is faithful, who is full of faith, will be careful to be absolutely honest in his speech and personal affairs. His words can be counted on as trustworthy and reliable. When he makes a promise, you can be confident that he will do everything in his power to stick to his word and faithfully carry out his intentions. Not a lot of people have this aspect of faith, do they, in our world? Not even in the religious world. I read an article this week where a Nashville pastor said that he doesn't believe the Bible reflects the character of God. And that it, what heresy? I mean, if you can't trust God's inspired word, then you have no faith. It's just that simple. But it's true. There are very few individuals in our world today who exhibit faithfulness in the way they talk. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist cries out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." I find it interesting that faithfulness in that psalm is associated with speech. And these verses ring true in our day when so many people are deceptive, insincere, and unfaithful in their speech. I mean, I've come to the place, I don't watch the news at all anymore. But if a news outlet says something, I'm inclined to believe the exact opposite. Because there's so much deception, so much falsehood. There's manipulation through speech where they're being deceptive and they're trying to make people believe that what is really bitter is sweet. And what is dark, they say, is light. What's evil, they say, is good. Think of all the deceptive speech in our world today. The idea that homosexuality is acceptable. It's not. It's wrong. It's a sin. God's Word declares it to be an abomination. This idea that they're pushing constantly, that the idea that someone can change from being a man to a woman, you can't do that. Your DNA, you don't have the power to change your DNA. It was determined at conception, and it's the way it's always going to be. I don't care how much makeup Bruce Jenner wears. He's still Bruce Jenner. I don't care how many times he changes his name or puts on dresses. You cannot take something that is false and make it true. There has to be a standard. And yet, these are deceptive lies that are being told in our world today, and they want you to accept it. I'm telling you, there are churches that are accepting the homosexuality, homosexual marriage, all of that. It's wrong. I'm against it. I believe the Word of God is against it. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. We need righteous men and women of integrity whose words can be counted on as faithful and true. To be absolutely honest in your speech and deportment. And by the way, the culture that we're living in is trying to get everybody, if you don't agree with the narrative that the government, that political figures, that education, that pop culture, that Hollywood, that sports, if you don't agree with their narrative, they're going to cancel you. They can't bear any opposition. Well, you know what? I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. I'm going to remain faithful because God's Word is true. Just because somebody says that transgenderism is real, that it's scientific, that doesn't make it so. Just because you say that 100 times a day, it doesn't make it so. Same way with climate change. God's in charge of the climate. I'm going to teach this till the day that I die by the grace of God. Because man is so arrogant, so prideful, so full of himself, he thinks that he has control and the ability to heal this planet. That's a lie from hell. You can't even cure a cold. How in the world are you going to heal the planet? To be absolutely honest in your speech and deportment means that you strive to be free of all lying, exaggeration, and flattery. You've exaggerated, and so have I. I don't fish much anymore, but there were times when I might have stretched the truth a little bit. Flattery. Well, I tell you what, the religious world is full of flattery. Preachers flatter their hearers. Their hearers worship their preachers. And it's all a bunch of idolatry. Flattery is wickedness. Now, I'm not telling you to just be mean to me, but or to be super critical of me, but it's wrong to flatter people. It's a sin. Now, if we were to have the supreme example, it's Jesus Christ, the example of faithfulness regarding absolute honesty. Think about the one that we serve. He never spoke deceitfully or dishonestly. Jesus Christ never exaggerated, never told a lie, never flattered somebody in order to deceive them and gain an advantage. 1 Peter 2:22 says about Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus spoke only words of truth with no admixture of error. He always meant what he said. He did not say one thing and then do another. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that dealeth truly are his delight. Lying is a flat out sin against God. It is a breach of one of the Ten Commandments, one of the moral principles. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And that encompasses all false speech. As you examine the words that flow from your mouth on a day-to-day basis, can you say that you are endeavoring to be absolutely honest and faithful in your speech? Or are you prone to exaggerate the facts or add a little spice to the stories you tell? Do you find yourself telling what many people refer to as little white lies in order to save yourself or others some sort of embarrassment? People do that all the time. It doesn't make it right. It's wrong. Are you guilty of flattering others by telling them what they want to hear rather than what you really believe the truth to be? I've been pastoring here since 1993, October 1993. I've had a statement that I make all the time. I've said it from the very beginning. You need a pastor who will tell you what you need to hear rather than just what you want to hear. There's too many preachers that are lily-livered, that, you know, they got honey dripping out one side and molasses out of the other. They never preach against sin. They never address bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy. You know, a lot of preachers, I don't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew. But most people don't. In Baptist churches, they ought not. But I tell you what, there's a lot of bitter Baptists. There's a lot of Baptists who are envious and jealous. Those are sins that need to be repented of. You see, these are all instances where we're prone to fail in the area of absolute honesty. Well, we need to live up to Ephesians 4. Verse 25 and verse 29. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Why is that exhortation to God's children? Because we still have a fleshly nature that's prone to bear false witness. And if we're going to exhibit this, the fruit of the Spirit as faith and faithfulness, we can't have that. We got to put it away. Got to get rid of it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If the fruit of the Spirit is faith, producing faithfulness in your life, faithfulness regarding absolute honesty means that you're also endeavoring to be sincere. Again, this is something not preached on, not touched on, but I'm not going to spare you. You need to be sincere in your motives, your words, your actions before God and man. You need to strive to be free from all deception, corruption, and hypocrisy. Do you know what reproach that brings upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when God's people exhibit hypocrisy? 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. A faithful man who's marked by integrity will not be guilty of trying to convince others that he's something that he is not. A hypocrite is someone whose inward desires are not in harmony with their outward actions. Hypocrites profess to be something that in reality they are not. They're often marked by acting one way around the ungodly and another way when in the company of Christians. They're skillful in the art of deception, careful to fit in with whoever they are, whoever they're with at the moment. I see it when politicians go to church. You know, they advance the cause of killing babies and promote homosexuality, and then they go into a pulpit and they talk about the grace of God. That's a lie from hell. That's pure hypocrisy. Many people go to church on Sunday professing themselves to be spiritual and then live like the devil the rest of the week. May God deliver us from every form of hypocrisy. May we be like Daniel. It was said of him, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him." Daniel 6:4. Remember the song, "Dare to Be a Daniel"? My wife, she went like that. She wants me to break into it. I don't have time tonight, honey. We used to sing that at Bible school. Daniel was a man of integrity, purity, and conviction. He always spoke and acted in a manner that was consistent with his profession of faith in Jehovah. That's how you and I need to be. May God enable each of us as believers to serve Him with a clear conscience that's free from the guilt of deception and hypocrisy. Remember the admonition in Hebrews 10. Verse 22 and 23, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Now, if you're going to exhibit faithfulness and honesty before God, it's going to take some consistent searching and transparency when you go to God in prayer. And you have to sincerely strive to purge from your life those things that are inconsistent with a Christian profession of faith. We need to examine our motives, why we do what we do. We need to examine our speech, what we say from day to day, and our behavior. Not in light of community standards or social norms or what the world may say is acceptable. No, our standard must be God's Word and His standard of holiness if we're going to abound in this fruit of faithfulness. You see, it's impossible to be faithful if we're dishonest and deceitful in our dealings with God and man. So tonight, as we examine our motives, as we examine our hearts, may we really sincerely pray the prayer of the psalmist and mean it. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Absolute honesty, sincerity, purity of motive. It's the sure road to a faithful testimony. Absolute honesty. Next week, we'll look at another facet of the fruit of the Spirit is faith.